Govardhana Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we're going to read a very interesting verse from the Bhagavad Gita today. Chapter 4, text 13. Okay. Do our guests need any cushions? You want some cushions to sit on back there? Is this the first time you come, or?
Yeah, first time coming to this. We recently really go to this.
Oh, you've come before?
No.
Oh, we want to welcome you.
Thank you.
And what are your names?
My name is Vikram Singh.
Vikram Singh, very nice. And?
Allison.
Allison, welcome to New Goloka. And we have some free books to give you later on. I think they're somewhere around here. Tulsi, this is Tulsi, she'll arrange that. She's part of Krishna West. But she's come today dressed in a sari in disguise. So we're going to read a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita today. I was going to give a longer class, but there's not many people. We have a lot of people online, of course. So we're reading from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 13. So Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shrakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Bhagavad Gita, of course, is spoken by Krishna approximately 5,000 years ago, a little bit more than 5,000 years ago. And all the truths of both phenomenal and numinous knowledge are revealed. Phenomenal knowledge means knowledge of this world, you know, phenomena, things you can see, and numinous means things you can't see. There's a lot of things. Actually, there's much more that we can't see than we can see. Just like if you have an iceberg, you know, the Titanic hit an iceberg. So most of the iceberg is below the surface, and a little bit is above. And so sometimes it's hard to avoid an iceberg. Same thing with Krishna consciousness. Not that it's hard to avoid it. But a lot of the presentation of the Gita, some of the presentation of the Gita, is about this world. And some of it is about the spiritual realm. And the reason descriptions of this world are given in the Bhagavad Gita is because we have to function within this world. That's a very important point, because if we're just spiritual, probably we won't get enough to eat. Probably we'll freeze to death in the snow, something like that. So we have to really know what to do, how to work. And today we're going to be reading a verse about how to work in the material world and who should do what type of work. Very interesting verse. And then, of course, this verse is about something called the Varnashram system. Nowadays in India, it's called the caste system, but that's completely different than what Krishna intended it to be. So, this verse is as follows, and I'll read the Sanskrit and the translation and Prabhupada's purport. The Sanskrit is as follows, Chaturvarna mayashristam guna karma vibhaga shaha tasya karitaram abhinam vijakaritaram avyam. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, comforting. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the Lord is the creator of everything. Everything is born of Him, everything is sustained by Him, and everything after annihilation rests in Him. He is therefore the creator of the four divisions of the social order, beginning with the intelligent class of men, technically called Brahmanas, due to their being situated in the mode of goodness. Next is the administrative class, technically called the Kshatriyas, due to their being situated in the mode of passion. The mercantile men, called the Vaishyas, are situated in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, and the Shudras, or laborer class, are situated in the ignorant mode of material nature. In spite of his creating the four divisions of human society, Lord Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions, because he is not one of the conditioned souls, a section of whom form human society. Human society is similar to any other animal society, but to elevate men from the animal status, the above-mentioned divisions are created by the Lord. Probably it's too much. Although I can tolerate, I want everyone else to be able to hear. I hate to be cruel and unusual. Yes. The above mentioned divisions are created by the Lord. Now he's quiet. So if he can go to sleep, that would be very nice. For the systematic development of Krishna consciousness. Oh, now he's quiet. Systematic development of Krishna consciousness. The tendency of a particular man toward work is determined by the modes of material nature which he has acquired. Such symptoms of life, according to the different modes of material nature, are described in the 18th chapter of this book. A person in Krishna consciousness, however, is above even the Brahmanas. Although Brahmanas by quality are supposed to know about Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth, most of them approach only the impersonal Brahman, manifestation of Lord Krishna. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a Brahmana and reaches the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, becomes a person. Maybe if you walk with him, it'll do something. I think it's. Even though I'm tolerant. Yeah, definitely, he needs to go to sleep somewhere. What's that? four thirteen. Okay, put your coat on. Okay. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a Brahmana and reaches the knowledge. Let's wait. Let's wait until he gets his coat on. Good. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, sorry about that. Yeah. If it was just me, I would tell her, but we have other people, so. Pitter patter of little feet. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a Brahmana and reaches the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Sri Krishna becomes a person in Krishna consciousness. Or in other words, a Vaishnava. Krishna consciousness includes knowledge of all the different plenary expansions of Krishna, namely Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, etc. And as Krishna is transcendental to the system of the four divisions of human society, a person in Krishna consciousness is also transcendental to all divisions of human society, whether we consider the divisions of community, nation, or species. So, Chaturvana Maya Shustam Gunakarma Vibhagasha Tasha Kartkarma Vimam Vijakar Tarama Aviyam. So, it's a very interesting verse, and This verse does not advocate discrimination against or even for people because of their particular material situation. Sometimes this conception of the caste consciousness is misunderstood, particularly in India, where you have people born in different what's all called castes, and even there's something called the scheduled caste, which is like an outcast thing. Those of you familiar will understand this. And they're discriminated against or given preferential treatment sometimes in the modern world. So this whole caste system is not coming from Krishna. The caste system was originally instituted as a caste system based on birth, was originally instituted by the Brahmanas approximately 2,100, 2,200 years ago. And the reason the Brahmanas instituted this, at least those who were born in Brahminical families, so that they could lord it over the other people. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you were born in a particular family that had a Brahminical name, Brahman name means like priest name, it's the head of society, then it was considered that you were a Brahmin and you didn't want anyone else to take up that particular position other than people born in that particular caste or that particular part of society, because that would interfere with your domination over the rest of the society. And the Brahmanas in particular were interested at that point in their domination so that they could economically exploit people. For example, in the Vedic society, there are these things called samskaras. Samskaras means a reformatory ceremony that's performed at a certain time in people's lives. Like an example, one example of that is the marriage ceremony. That's called vivaha. And another example is the funeral ceremony, which is called antyeshti. Antyeshti means at the end, basically. So all these different ceremonies required a Brahmin. And because they required a Brahmin, you had to pay for the Brahmin. Just like I was in New York recently, and there was a funeral for one of my family members. Not recently, it was months ago. And they had to not bring a Brahmin, because I'm actually not from an Indian family, but they had to bring a minister from a particular religion, and he got quite a bit of money just for coming and saying nice things about the dead person who he didn't even know. You know, he went to the funeral and he just said, well, so-and-so, he was so good in life, did this, did that. And I was thinking, he didn't know him. How did he find out about those things? Well, he was given a list. So it was a financial type of arrangement. So in the same way, that's what it became in amongst the so-called Brahmanas in India. It was a financial arrangement. And so therefore, they established that only those who were born in particular families, Brahminical families, could become Brahmins. And of course, we're all familiar with the term of monopoly. Monopoly means that if you restrict the source of a particular product, then you can make a lot of money from that particular product. For example, the drug companies, they take a patent out on different drugs, and their patent is good for many years until the drugs can be produced in the generic version. Hare Krishna. Come in. Thank you for coming, in spite of the weather. Come in. So, we were just talking about the Bhagavad Gita. So, until the generic version was produced, let everybody come in. Nice that so many people came in spite of the weather. Thank you for coming in spite of all the weather. Let everybody come in. It's an unusual Sunday. So, because once the generic version was produced, they couldn't make so much money. The drug companies couldn't make so much money. So they established a monopoly for a particular period of time. So in the same way, Over 2,000 years ago, the Brahmanas established this caste system, which is based on birth. You could be a Brahmin. Please sit down. We're having a class right now. And this enabled them to basically exploit, make money. And even today, you go to different holy places in India, and there's these pandas who were born in Brahminical families, and then they demand money from you. Sometimes they demand money so enthusiastically that if you don't give it to them, they'll pull on your dhoti or sari as you're walking out of the holy place. And sometimes I take devotees around in Govardhana. I have to just clue them in where they're going. They have to run very fast to a particular holy place, or I have to protect them from the pandas. So this is not Krishna's idea in the Gita. Krishna's idea in the Gita is that one is understood to be a particular varna, and we're talking varna actually means color, but a particular status in society according to his or her nature. Not according to birth. In other words, there's nobody who's born in a particular type of body who is given a particular type of work just because they're born in that particular family, or they have a particular last name. Even in the Jewish culture, they have this, what's called different tribes, and one tribe is the priestly caste, and if you have a name like Kohanim or something like that, you're considered to be a priest. But Krishna is presenting something different here. Krishna here says that one is understood according to his qualities and work, whether he's a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Let me describe what these four things are. Brahmin, of course, we already described. That's the priestly caste, the intellectual class. Kshatriya is the soldier, the administrator. Like we have King Yudhisthira, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was Kshatriya. Lord Ramchandra appeared as a Kshatriya, even though the Lord is not of a particular caste. Sometimes he comes down to appear in a particular caste to set an example, as Krishna says in the Gita, yad 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 acharati shrestas tatat evetaro janaha, that Krishna acts to set an example for us. He says, as a great person acts, other people follow. So in the same way, Krishna sometimes appears as a Kshatriya, and sometimes Krishna appears as a Vaishya. 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, and he enacted pastimes as a Vaishya. Vaishya means taking care of the cows, commerce, krichi goraksha vanijam, Vaishya karma svabhavajam. That's from the Gita too. It says the Vaishya's activities are cow protection, commerce, etc., like that. Of course, modern-day Vaishyas, they're on Wall Street. But they're not really true Vaishyas, because a true Vaishya would be engaged also in spiritual activities. And then you have the Shudras, or the worker class. So you have these four different classes, and one is examined, a person in the traditional Vedic system would be examined as to what particular class they fit in, and they would be assigned a particular type of work. They wouldn't be discriminated against. There wasn't any racism or speciesism or sexism. Everyone would have that chance to exhibit their particular qualities. And one of the methods they used at an early age to determine someone's varna was a ceremony that was generally performed about 6 months or 8 months into a child's life, in which a child would be presented with the different implements of different varnas. Let me explain precisely what I mean by that. He'd be presented with a Bhagavad Gita, there'd be a Bhagavad Gita on a cloth. There would be a sword or some implement that a Kshatriya would use, maybe a computer, on a piece of cloth too. There would be an implement for a Vaishya, you know, some herding cows or something like that, or money, or gold usually they would put. Like the ladies would take their gold bangles off and they'd put them on the piece of cloth of the madras. And then finally, the shooter's implements, like a hammer saw or any of the implements that a shooter would use. And then the child, at least from the time he could crawl, he would choose a particular implement. This would be indicative. Of course, that wasn't the be-all and end-all, that just because I happen to choose a hammer doesn't mean I'm a shooter the rest of my life. But later on, the person would be further examined. We have an example of that type of examination in the Mahabharata. When the Pandavas won Draupadi, they were actually disguised as brahmanas. It was actually Arjuna that won Draupadi. He was disguised as a brahmana. And the other Pandavas too, they were disguised as brahmanas because they were in incognito hiding out from the Kurus. So when they won Draupadi, you had Drupada, the father of Draupadi, wondering, who were these people actually? He couldn't believe that they were brahmanas because they were very big, very strong, and they had the mark of bows and arrows. You know, someone shooting arrows all the time, the marks are there on the hands. Although they did wear gloves, but still you could see certain marks on the arms and the hands. So he was wondering. So what he did is when the Pandavas came finally to his kingdom, he put the implements for all the different varnas in front of them. He put swords for the Kshatriyas or bows and arrows for the Kshatriyas. He put books or some Brahminical implements. He put stuff for herding cows or money. And then he also put some workers' implements. I guess they had hammers in those days too. So the Pandavas, they immediately rushed to... I shouldn't put that up there. They immediately rushed to where the swords and the bows and arrows were. And so he said, you are Kshatriyas. So, of course, we don't do that test for adults now. The test that I employ generally is I talk to different devotees and I ask them, what do you like to do and what could you do 12 hours a day without going crazy? I mean, we can do many things. Of course, a Brahmana is expert in many different subject matters. A Brahmana could know how to build a house. A Brahmana could know how to herd cows. A Brahmana could know how to fight, like you have Dronacharya. Of course, Dronacharya ultimately lost his Brahminical status by fighting on the wrong side. But a Brahmin could teach others how to fight. A Brahmin can teach so many things. A Brahmin can teach Kshatriya skills. A Brahmin can teach Shudra skills. And, of course, a Brahmin can teach Brahminical skills. So just being able to teach and know that subject matter doesn't mean that someone is of a particular class or a particular varna. One has to be able to fix his mind in doing that particular work all day long. Be absorbed. That's how you can really tell. We can ask someone a question. What can you do all day long and be happy? Not just that you have to do it. Additional rhyme. You made it through the snow. I'm proud of you. So we were just discussing the varnas. We have to ask, what can someone do all day long, be absorbed, be happy, and then do that for Krishna? That's what varnashram means. It doesn't mean simply you do it all day long and you do it for yourself, but you do it for Krishna. That's the definition of varnashram. So, for example, let's say you take myself. I mean, I can do a lot of things. I know how to build houses. I know how to do everything. But if you ask me to engage in building houses or painting pictures, and then it'll drive me crazy. So therefore, you know, just practically, I have more Brahminical tendencies. I like to study. I like to hear about Krishna's service. I like to serve the deities. I have my own deities at home, like Govardhan Shilas, and I spend time every day serving them and decorating them. It's, you know, that's a Brahminical tendency. So therefore, it is important to understand a person's tendencies so that they can be happy in serving Krishna. And ultimately, Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that if you don't act according to your tendencies under his direction, you'll be forced to act independently. Because these tendencies come from, as Krishna describes here, the modes of nature. Now, what are these modes of nature? There's three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these three modes combine in an infinite number of ways, like the three basic colors, combine in an infinite number of ways to present an image on the TV. So these modes determine, or the combination of modes in the body that we have. It's not the soul. The soul is transcendental to all those things. So no one is a Vaishya, no one is a Shudra, no one is a Brahmin, or any of these things, or a Kshatriya. Jivera Swarupahoy Jivera Nitya Krishna Das. That ultimately, we're not talking about the soul here. So this Varnashram system is not a discrimination process to discriminate against people. It's for helping people do something or engage in a way that they'll be happy in serving Krishna. So let's get back to Arjuna, for example. Arjuna was objecting to his duty. Krishna gave him a duty. All right, fight. You know, why did Krishna want him to fight? Why not just peace and love and all those other nice things? Well, fighting is not really advocated unless you're defending. We should understand that. In the Vedic tradition, there's no question of going out and fighting just for the sake of fighting or just for the sake of converting people or something like that. I mean, in fact, you will not find in the Hindu tradition any wars of conversion like you do in every single other religion on the earth. You just don't find it. You know, converting people to be Hindus or the Vedic tradition, to be more precise. You just don't find that sort of war. But there, you'll find wars of defense. And so Arjuna was asked to fight because there were really bad guys in charge of the kingdom. I mean, really bad. They were, for lack of a better word, demons. And they were determined to wreak havoc on moral principles. Because we, in Krishna consciousness, we in the Vedic tradition, because we are teaching Sanatana Dharma, not Hinduism, we advocate freedom of religion. We respect every single religion that's worshiping God in any culture, under any name. Whether they call God Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Nrisimha. Nrisimha's nice. Krishna. Ram. I mean, these are all different names of God. It's fine. Even the word God is a name of God. Oh my God. There was a movie by that name in India. Anyway, but sometimes to protect people, wars are necessary. I mean, ahimsa is good, but it's not an absolute principle. For example, if one of these ladies here was attacked, one of you men decided to attack, of course none of you would do that, then I would immediately get up from this seat, hopefully. I wouldn't run away. I would immediately get up from this seat and try my best to defend, you know, I'd even punch the person. And if someone came in here, you know, like sometimes there's these shooters who come into public places, I would just take a chair and hit them on the head to protect you all. Isn't it? Violence is necessary to protect sometimes. So Krishna was advocating that Arjuna should fight a war of protection. And the people who were exploiting and hurting others, they were related to Arjuna. They were his cousin brothers. But they were wreaking havoc. They were torturing people. Anyway, they were murdering people. They tried to murder the Pandavas. They put them in a house. Imagine someone gives you a nice new house to live in and it's made of made of wax and ghee and oil, and you're sitting there living in your house and they set fire to it and they want to set fire and burn you alive? I mean, those are criminals. So there are criminals running a society. So Krishna wanted Arjuna to establish the proper kingdom, you know. So Arjuna thought, no, better I don't do this because I know these people. That's called a conflict of interest in modern parlance. Because I know these people. And Krishna, he said, better I just go to the forest and chant Hare Krishna. Because he didn't say chant Hare Krishna. He said, better I just renounce everything. And Krishna said, ain't going to work like that. Several reasons Krishna gave us. First, by your nature, you're going to be forced to fight. And secondly, the fight's going to take place anyway. You might as well just get the credit for it. You're a Kshatriya, you know. At least you can get the points, the Sankirtan points for it. Just like Aditya Narayan Prabhu is expert in distributing Prabhupada's books and leading so many teams in distributing Prabhupada's books. So the books are going to get distributed, but he's getting the credit. So instead of retreating from the battlefield. So Krishna said to Arjuna, let's take the first point. You're going to be forced to do it anyway. So that was proven earlier in the Mahabharata when Arjuna was meditating, attempting to meet Lord Shiva. It was an interesting story in the Mahabharata. He was meditating in the forest. He wanted to meet Lord Shiva to get weapons, of course. Why else meditate on Lord Shiva? So he was meditating, and then while he was meditating, a big boar appeared. That means a pig with tusks on it. And the boar was running towards him to kill him. But what Arjuna did, he pulled his bow and arrows out and naturally shot the boar. At the same time, he saw another arrow hit the boar. And he looked up and there was this karata, that means like a forest dweller, like aborigine or something. And he was the one who shot the boar. So we had an argument with the karata. You know, instead of exhibiting brahminical tendencies, I mean, for example, if I had been sitting meditating and someone shot the boar, I would say, thank you, Prabhu, you know, for protecting me. That's natural, isn't it? I would say, thank you. You know, I may have shot him too, but, you know, thank you. You know, we really took care of him. Whatever, it's all yours. You know, my obeisance is unto you. But instead, Arjuna said, I shot him first. And the Kurata said, no, I shot him first. And Arjuna said, put up your dukes, basically, you know, or let's fight. So he began to fight with this Kurata. And unfortunately, or fortunately, he was defeated. I mean, he had to just like, he bit the dust. And when he was biting the dust, he made a little Shiva Linga to worship Lord Shiva. And he put a garland on it and he looked up and that's Kurata had a garland, the same garland on him. And that was Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was very pleased, of course. You know, you can please Lord Shiva very easily. He's Ashutosh. So if you want to please him by fighting, you can fight him. Don't try that. So anyway, Arjuna showed in that particular pastime that he couldn't keep himself from fighting. He wasn't brahminical by nature. He really wasn't. So therefore, Krishna is making reference to that. And the Gita said, by your nature, you're going to be forced to fight. But you're going to be forced to fight for the wrong reason. Not for me, that is Krishna. So one should, whatever one does, yat karoti yat jnasi yat jahoshi tadasi yat yat tapashasi kantiyat tat kurushwar manarpanam. One should be doing it for Krishna. That's the Varnashram system. The Varnashram system. Do it for Krishna according to your nature, and then everyone's equal. There's no question of inequality in the Varnashram, and each and every caste respects the other caste or the other Varna. Let's forget about using the word caste. Respects them because they're serving Krishna with their talents. Now, just one final thing I want to mention about this, about the position of men and women in the Vedic culture. Women, as well as men, also have varnas. So if there's a lady who has Brahminical tendencies, she's respected as a Brahmani. Just like in the, this may go against some chauvinistic understandings, but just like in the Upanishads, one of the main teachers or speakers in the Upanishads is Gargi. Did you know that? Gargi is a lady. There's Garga, Gargi. So she's one of the main teachers. And she's considered a Brahmin who's able to present spiritual knowledge. You're going now, or?
Yeah.
Oh, you going to get some prasad before you go, or? We're almost finished. We're almost finished. Just finishing up right now. So she's one of the main teachers. So the main point I'm making here, and Krishna is making, is that everyone should be engaged according to his qualities, not according to the type of body he has, whether it's men, women, white, black, purple, whatever qualities someone exhibits, then one should accept that person as either a teacher, should accept that person as a leader of society, a kshatriya, a business person, cow protector, whatever. And that's Krishna consciousness. We do not discriminate according to caste or creed. We give everybody equal opportunity, and we respect whatever position someone is in. So that's, any questions or comments? Otherwise, we have prasadam now. We just want to thank everybody. What's that? Just a quick question, because people want to go. Mix. You determine what is your primary varna, and you work according to that. That's the Krishna conscious movement. Mix, yeah, we're United Nations of the spiritual world. We don't look at people's bodies, men, women, white, black, whatever. It's just what their qualities are. And then if someone has other qualities, we don't discriminate against them either. We encourage everyone to engage according to their nature. It's glorious to be a Shudra if you could work for Krishna. You can go back to Godhead. Krishna says, anyone. Mami Partha Vyapashrita. Anyone who approaches me, be they of lower birth or whatever, can yet approach Yepi Yanti Param Gatim, can yet approach the transcendental destination. So I think that's enough, because then we want people to get back before the roads start icing up. And so there's prasadam now?
Yes.
Okay, you have any announcements to make? Or?